so much for the kind introduction. And very good morning to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today the topic is understanding life. They put there its purpose and meaning, which was the one I sent to them. But what I wrote on the board is its meaning and purpose. This particular understanding of life is very important to us all, especially Buddhists. We have to ask ourselves one very important question. If you do not understand life, how are you going to live life? True or not? Is that true? Correct or not? So what is your understanding of life? Different people have different understanding. It depends on your religion, your religious background, your conditioning, and all those things. But we are not talking about particular understanding based on your views and your opinion. We are talking about an understanding that is universal. Because life is universal. It's not only restricted to our beliefs. When we truly understand life, we go beyond individual beliefs, individual religion and culture. Having said that, I need to introduce to you what is life, what is your understanding of life, and what is the true understanding of life as defined by our Lord Buddha. Because of his uniqueness, he is the fully enlightened one, means not only enlightened, complete and fully enlightened. Because of that, he is the wisest and the most virtuous living being ever to be born during his time. So he has this, what they call great wisdom. That's why he understands life completely and thoroughly. So he was able to teach in such a noble way. The essence of his teaching is nothing else but the Four Noble Truths. And these Four Noble Truths are truths that can make you noble ones or enlightened ones. And it's like the secret of life. Because noble ones and enlightened ones are what he called those who have already cultivated and become enlightened. And they have very noble qualities. That's why in the olden days, the enlightened ones are called noble ones. Aryas. Aryas are enlightened ones. Aryasacha, noble truth. So noble truth are not ordinary truth. Noble truth are truth when you understand, when you realize, you become enlightened one. Enlightened one means what? Enlightened one means you have this wisdom, you have awakened to the secret of life. You understand completely, thoroughly what life is. And you know how to live. That's why we have to come to this understanding. If we do not understand what life is, it's very dangerous. Because we will not know how to live life. To live life meaningfully, to be able to have the wisdom to allow our mind to be completely free of all suffering, all misery, so that every moment of life is so meaningful, so beautiful, so full of joy, happiness, peace, love and compassion, without all the negativity of fear, worry, anxiety, misery, sorrow and lamentation, fear, worry, anxiety, all this, the Buddha calls suffering. Affliction. It causes a lot of mental suffering and misery. And when you have a lot of mental suffering and misery, how do you live life? It's very difficult. So that's why the Buddha's teaching is very unique. When we understand life, we don't have to suffer. We don't have to become miserable. We don't have to worry about life. We can just live. And that is the beauty. So having formed a base, I will now go into the definition. So, what is life? How can we understand life? So, I will have to write down a bit. Do you agree? Life is existence. Agree or not? To live life is to exist through life there. Otherwise, there is no life there. Existence is time related, isn't it? So you have to go through life, you go through existence. And they are time related. The first understanding you need to ask is, what is life? What are the things that governs life and existence? This is what the Buddha came to realize. The Buddha said there are certain laws. Certain laws that governs life and existence. And he called this nature's law. What are they? As Buddhists, you have this advantage. Yeah? Because you know the Buddha Dharma. And actually, if you know the Buddha Dharma, if you truly understand the Buddha Dharma, his teaching, you will understand life. Then you will know how to live life. Then you will understand what these are. Because the laws that governs life and existence is the basis of existence. Correct or not? If you know this law, you know the secret of life. You know how to live. What are the great laws? He called it the five pancha niyamas. What are they? First two is what? You heard of this one? Uttu niyama? Heard of this one? Heaven. This is what the scientists are very good at. He said the nature's physical law. You study science there. Physics, chemistry, elements. They have certain properties, certain behaviors. So when you understand this law, you will progress very far within this field of science and technology. Second one is, he called it Bija Niyamas. Bija is like the Malay word, seed. So this one he called the biological order. Or laws. Biological means all of organic things, including our human body, the plants, all those that follow this nature's law, their behavior can be predicted. You can understand. So scientists are very good in this too. These are called nature's physical law. Physical and biological law. The scientists. They are very good. And because of this understanding, that's why our civilization, the last 30 years, we progress so fast. So this is the basis of how they come to understand things. And from that understanding, when it tallies with the nature's law, means they understand the truth. That's why they progress very far. Whereas the Buddha is more interested in the other three. These three, the Buddha called it the spiritual laws. The first one is law of karma. This one, I think, as Buddhists, you have heard before. Karma niyama. Then you have what they call citta niyama. Citta is mind. Order of the mind. Nature's law with regards to mind. Then you have the last one. Dhamma niyamas. or nature's truth. All of Dhamma taught by the Buddha. So these three, the Buddha said, is very important if you want to understand life. This is the spiritual law. Law of karma is very simple. He said, it's like science, except this is the moral causation. Under physical law, science, Newton's law, to every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. Correct or not? So, under the moral causation, when we talk about using thought to live life, there is a mental intention behind. That's why there is a moral causation. Wholesome, unwholesome. Good and evil. So, this law, the Buddha said, you reap what you sow. Do good begets good. Do evils beget evil. This is a very important law. When we understand this law, we will understand how the advice of the Buddha and his teaching comes about. His teaching actually follow this law. That's why when he understand there is such a thing as the law of karma, he came to realize that you should avoid all evil. Do good and purify your mind. Avoid all evil means avoid all the negativity of thought, action, and speech. That's why Noble Eightfold Path, you have right thought, right speech, right action, born of right view. So these three are the important right views that the Buddha talked about under the Noble Eightfold Path. When the puja, you dedicate your life to take refuge in the triple gem, then abide by the Noble Eightfold Path, so that your life can be very blessed and very noble. So that is the reason why. The Buddha said he came to realize each and every living beings, not only human beings, including the non-humans, the devas, brahmas, and all the other planar existence. He said each and every one of us in this universe, we are born our karma. Hey to our karma. You inherit everything. H-E-I-R. You are conditioned and supported by your karma. Each and every moment of your life. And you are what you are. Every life when you come because of your karma. So you cannot blame anybody for your life condition. So when he understands this, he advised the living being to take care of your karma. You know why? Because when you take care of your karma, your life will be taken care of. Because you are born of your karma. Heir to your karma. You inherit everything. And every moment, every instant, your life is conditioned and supported by your karma. And you are what you are because of your karma. So how do you take care of karma? The Buddha said, very easy. Because you reap what you sow. Do good, begets good. Do evil, begets evil. If you want to have goodness, if you want people to be good to you, you must do all the virtuous things. You must avoid all evil. That's why the advice of the Buddha under his famous Dhammapada verse 183 is Sabba papasa akaranang kusalesa upasampadan secitta pariyut dapadang etang buddhana sasana. The meaning is Sabbe is all, papasa is evil. All evil you must avoid. So it is based on this law. If we avoid all evil, we take care of karma. Then if we do whatever that is wholesome and good, we will inherit them because you reap what you sow. Then if you know how to meditate and purify your mind to develop the wisdom to become enlightened, you go beyond the understanding of the law of karma. Law of karma only protects you from evil. Develop all the wholesomeness and the merits. So this is like having the very good, what they call materialistic life, the good life. But without the spiritual understanding, the wisdom, your life is still incomplete. And that is what the Buddha is trying to explain to us. This spiritual understanding, the last part of his advice, to purify your mind, to develop the wisdom to become enlightened. Or even if you are not enlightened, at least you have the right understanding of what life is. Once you understand life, you know how to live. Life becomes meaningful. You know how to avoid evil. You know how to do all the wholesome things. Then even if you don't really purify your mind, not too bad. Because your karma will protect you. And your life will be a lot more better than normal living beings who don't understand this spiritual law. But you can purify your mind, like train your mind in meditation to be heedful, to be aware of your mental intention behind all your actions, speech and thought. Then you move one step further. Then when you start to understand how you become what you are through all your thought process, you develop the understanding of citta niyama. Citta niyama is how you function as a human being, how your mind operates. It follows this law of mind. When you understand this law, you know there is no such thing as psychic. Psychic or whatever phenomena that the mind can do or create is all natural, following this law. If you train your mind in certain way, it has certain ability. It has certain power. So this is the part. The Buddha taught this under the law of dependent origination. He called it Paticca Samuppada, or the 12 links, if you all have heard of this before. This one explains clearly how your mind functions. How, due to ignorant avijja, you create mental activity sankhara, and how this sankhara create the rest of the link that cause your misery and your suffering. So all of your fear, worry, anxiety, the misery, the suffering, comes from not understanding this law. That's why this part is very important. And when you understand this part, the second spiritual law, you understand his teaching. His teaching talk about the Four Noble Truths. This is where the Four Noble Truths come in. When you understand this law, citta niyama, through your meditation, you will understand what suffering is, how you become miserable, and the cause behind that misery, the second noble truth. And you will come to understand also the third noble truth, that all this suffering need not be. Cessation of suffering or dukkha can come to be. Enlightenment in the here and the now, Nibbana, can be realized. Then he also taught the fourth noble truth, the path that leads to this cessation. But more important is the first noble truth. He talks about certain realities of life and existence. These realities are very, very important to us all living beings. Because if you live long enough, you have to confront them. And the Buddha said, this is the first noble truth of suffering, dukkha. But he never said life is suffering. That's why he said there is a noble truth that explains to you clearly what dukkha is. The prevalence of suffering everywhere in this world where you don't understand his teaching, where you don't have this wisdom to come to understand how it occurs and how you are afflicted by it. So this reality is, for most Buddhists, I think you have heard before. But for the benefit of some who may not understand, I just quickly run through. There are eight realities that the Buddha talked about. The first four is very simple. You say, if you go through life, you will witness birth, old age, sickness, and death. And this reality can be very traumatic. Can afflict the human being, can cause a lot of suffering and mental agony and misery, especially birth. If the newborn child, if there is any complication that affects the mother or the children, there is so much suffering that comes with it. Birth process, the labor that the mother has to go through, depending on how lucky you are as a mother. Yeah. Some may not go through severe labor, but there are some who has to actually endure those very, very severe type of suffering that comes with the labor pain and all those things. And some even have to go through cesarean. Then some, when the baby is not in the proper, what they call, posture. Normally, the head of the fetus must come down first. But if you have complication, it's the other way around. And the birth process is not normal. So there's a lot of things that comes with the birth process. But even the child, let's say is born normal. But then, because of birth, he has to experience old age, sickness, and death. That's why it comes with it. And the first thing that the baby do is, when they are born, what they do? They cry. So they say, indirectly, they have to confront suffering. That's why they have to cry. So that process, let's say as you bring up the child, you know, as parent, there are so many incidences. Unless you are very blessed, very lucky, your karma very good, your child all perfect health, everything very perfect, everything very blessed. You are one of the very rare ones. There are people who are there, but very rare. But most people, I believe, you go through some form of what they call situation that cause you a lot of worry, sometimes panic. Because by nature, kids are kids. Sometimes they fall sick, very severe. Then you don't know what is going on. Then sometimes life-threatening. Sometimes accident. Accident can be many forms. Sometimes because the kid is naughty, he get into trouble. Cause you so much suffering. So the birth process, very clearly, if you do not have the understanding of his teaching, suffering can be very true. Then when it comes to old age, we saw our grandparents. Some of us may see our own parent or yourself. Because as you grow old, what happened? You are no longer like before. Understand? Your senses start to fail you. You tend to have more disease, more sickness, and more problems. Then there are many things that you used to do, you cannot do now. Then if you don't understand the reality of this form, you cannot accept this reality through wisdom, you will create the wrong thought that condition you to become very unhappy, sometimes miserable, depressed. The third one is sickness. As JBA, I think you all experience a lot. There are a lot of people with cancer and all those things coming to see you all, especially Sui An Diao. You know, nowadays, common, very common. This type of disease, which is very traumatic, very fearing, like cancer, kidney failure, heart failure, stroke, and all those things. So, this is something that we need to confront. Sometimes we ourselves have to face health problem, old age problem, disease problem. Sometimes it's our loved ones, our parents. So when this thing hit you, when you are confronted with it, are you able still to become peaceful, happy, and live the normal life, free of fear, worry, and anxiety? This is what the Buddha said. This reality of life, when it hit, with the wisdom, you can still live. You can still be normal, peaceful, no fear, no worry, no anxiety. It can actually bring about that type of wisdom and understanding to allow you to have that calm and clear mind to understand. Like just now, you all sing one hymn. I like that part, they say. Something like the Buddha mentioned, after you have slain the power of self, you gain this wisdom and you can live. Means this self, wrong view, Sakaya Ditti, wrong view with regard to this Atta or personality or ego or self. That's why the Buddha teach Anatta, non-self. So when you have developed the meditation and realize this very profound wisdom of non-self, anatta, then you become so beautiful. Not only you can understand, your mind can be really liberated and free. And nothing in this world can cause you any more fear, worry, misery, and unhappiness. You can never be entangled anymore. Yeah. So the first four, the last one is death. And you know nowadays, separation from loved ones, death of somebody you know, it can be very traumatic, especially of a breadwinner or somebody very close to you. So this first four is very, very straightforward, very common, and every one of us more or less have witnessed it. But because we never really want to confront it, we try to avoid them. And when the time comes for you to be confronted and afflicted, you don't know what to do because you never, never investigate, reflect, and contemplate deep into it. This reality of life is so real. You have to have the wisdom to handle them. That's why develop this understanding of his teaching before it's too late. The next four is related to your career, your other aspect of life. The fifth one, the Buddha said, when you are separated from your loved ones or the thing that you desire or you think you own, your possession, your wealth, suffering comes to be. This one is very common. This one can come in many forms. Death is one of them, separation. Then, nowadays there's a lot of tsunami, nature's disaster and all those things, car accidents, snatch thief, kidnap and all those things. It can cause separation. That there is also what they call divorce, relationship failure, a type of separation that can be very, very real and very traumatic. There are many people who suffer from relationship failure. Even those who are not married, it can also torment them when they are jilted by their boyfriend or girlfriend. Then you move on to the next one, the Buddha said. When you are with people whom you don't like, this is very common. In your office, you know, when you have certain bosses, certain type of superior, they are not so friendly and not so understanding. You can be harassed. So even certain bosses, I was told, I heard about it quite often. He said they apply this type of management by fear and harassment. They put fear and harass you to deliver because they think they pay you and you have to deliver. So this part is also very common. Then even the school children, they are not free from it. The bullies and all those things. You have to really observe your kid. If they have problem, you better check. Because sometimes they could have confronted this and they have a lot of problem in school. That's why they don't want to go to school. And you don't understand why. You keep on scolding the kid. Why don't you go to school? Because you never find out. They have so much problem. Because gangsterism is very, very common nowadays, I was told. So you, as parents, it's your duty to find out and help them because they are still so young. Then there is what they call forced separation. So the seventh one is what they call when things don't go your way, when you cannot get what you want, you become frustrated, you become unhappy, you become afflicted. Your expectation of life, you expect to be promoted, but somebody else got it. You expect your loved ones to understand you, your spouse to remember your birthday. You expect your brothers and sisters to be understanding, kind to you. But when their expectation is not fulfilled, or there are certain things you aim in life, but you are not able to get them. So when things don't go your way, the Buddha said, suffering comes to be. When you cannot get what you want, there is this craving, desire, very strong inside, that torments you. Then finally, the Buddha summarized through the meditation. He said, in short, it's because we are deluded. We do not understand who we are, what we are. This five aggregate of form and mind, which is what the human being is all about, he said, when you don't understand, you grasp and cling onto this fine aggregate of form and mind, then it conditions your suffering, your misery. So coming back to this fine aggregate of form and mind, this human being, is very important. Because if you don't understand who you are, what you are, then I ask you one question. Who is living your life? Yeah? Who is living your life? You don't even know who you are and what you are. You will be very surprised. Your thought is living your life. You never live. You actually conditioned by your thought, your views, and your opinion. What is the human being all about? A bundle of memory with his views, opinions, and conditioning, living. And that is not you. But you take that as your identity. You don't understand the Buddha Dharma, the teaching of the Buddha that say this is non-self, not you, anatta. The form and mind is karmically conditioned out for you to use. The body is like a vehicle. The mind is like a tool for you to use to live. So use it properly, appropriately. Like money, eh? Money is neither good or evil. It depends on the user. If the user of money is wise and wholesome, or honest, sincere and good, then money becomes wholesome, sincere, good. So likewise, if you have wisdom, the thought you use will be right thought, wholesome thought. No wrong thought, no negative thought. Which means all this will not come to disturb you. So this aspect of the understanding of who you are, what you are, tie in with the understanding of life. Because you are limited in your understanding if you don't have the spiritual understanding. So now, after going through this, I will have to move on a little bit. Eh? I can rub off this. Eh? You see, in life, you have to ask yourself, there are two aspects of life, based on what I have explained to you. One is the materialistic life or mundane life. The second aspect is spiritual life. So these two aspects is very important. The Buddha said you have to understand both. Otherwise, your life is incomplete. So like I explained just now, if you do not understand the spiritual law that governs life and existence, you don't know how to live because the first noble truth is so real, so true. So let's say you can be very successful in the first aspect, the two types of life. The first one is mundane or materialistic. Let's say you are very successful. But the Buddha said, you can still be miserable. Because if you don't have the spiritual understanding, when you are confronted with the first noble truth, just now I talk about the reality of life and existence, you can be very wealthy, very famous, very powerful. But when you have disease, sickness, when you confront death, you confront relationship, you cannot handle. That's why this aspect of life is where most human beings are focusing on. Yeah. So we talk about materialistic life or what they call mundane life. What do you define as success? To be successful in life, what is your definition? Yeah? First thing is what? I know most of you will think money, yeah? To have financial freedom, you think with money your life will be very good. Not to say completely not right. There is a lot of truth there. But you must know how to use money, understand? Otherwise, when you are wealthy, you have more problems, understand? When you have money, especially men, you become naughty. Then you create a lot of other problems. Sometimes you don't know how to use money. Money can also cause you a lot of problem, downfall. You pamper your kid, you spoil your kid unknowingly. Understand? And a lot of other things. Yeah. Then if you lose them, you will become very miserable. Okay, we go down to basic success. What do you define as success? Huh? When you grow up. Like the Buddha always said, you cannot decide where you are born into. Yeah? Your family, you cannot choose them. Because karma decides for you. But you can decide who you marry. Correct? So, your life, you better make sure you choose the right marriage. Otherwise, don't marry. So, your family you are born into, you got no choice. Okay? So, your childhood life, if you can have the basic necessity of life, the food and the shelter and the education, you should be very blessed. Correct or not? Yeah? So the first success is basic necessity. Necessity and education. So let's say this one, most people can have. You may not be born into a wealthy family. Yeah? Maybe average or below average, also never mind. But at least you have food, shelter. Then you have the basic education. Of course, some of us may have to strive on our own to finish our own education. It's not easy. But let's say you are able to have this and go through. Then you look for academic success, correct or not? Or academic excellence. When you can have this, this is the first type of success, the first type of joy that you have in there. Correct or not? The first thing in life, a lot of people strive for this. You want your kid to do well with the exam, to bring honor and all those things, so that he can have a good start in life, career and all those things. But some may argue, those who are not educated, they are very wealthy, like Lim Kho Tong and all those things. But those are the exceptional ones. Because their karma is very strong. Understand? Their dana parami is very strong. So you must understand. Okay, academic success, let's say you have. The second one is what? You come out to work. Career. Let's say you did very well. Yeah? You reached the pinnacle of your career life. Reach the pinnacle of your career life means you are very, very outstanding, very successful. You did very well. So, career success comes with normally financial reward, isn't it? So, you have financial freedom. This is another success. So, normally with this, you say you are very contented, isn't it? Very happy, isn't it? Because very few people can do this very well, isn't it? Correct? Are you happy? Are you free from suffering? Not sure, isn't it? Correct? Because you don't have what? You don't have the spiritual understanding. And this is the most important. Spiritual understanding of life. It's the spiritual life. You see, you can be very successful career-wise, academically. Then you have a lot of financial freedom. But you don't have the family success. You know what is family success or not? This one is the family unit. Most of the rich people, most, because some of them, they do have this. Most of them find it very difficult to have this type of family unity. The real love, the relationship part between their loved ones, their parents, their children, their grandchildren, and all those things. So family unity, family harmony, the success of having a good family unit. This is very rare. Let's say you are the lucky one. You get all these four. Yeah? You reach the pinnacle of all this. You're supposed to be one of the very blessed ones within the mundane, spiritual, materialistic life category. Yeah. But like I said, you still have to confront the realities of life and existence, the first noble truth. So that will bring you to this part, the spiritual understanding, which you must have. And you can have this, your life is complete. That's why you remember what happened to the Buddha. Huh? What happened to him? When he saw the four signs, what did he saw? He saw a very sick man, a very old man, then a dead man. Then he saw a samana, which is like a monk, a holy man. When he saw those first three signs, he told himself, all of the good life that the Father has already planned for him, everything that he has got become totally meaningless. Because when he asked his assistant, Chanda, he said, what is this person? How come he like that? So old, so fragile, so weak, so miserable. The attendant say, this is a very old man. And this is a very sick man. Then the one that cannot do anything, they want to cremate. He said, this is a dead man. He said, what do you mean by an old man, a sick man, and a dead man? He said, each and every one of us, one day, we will become so old like him. We can also become so sick and so miserable like this one. Then we also have to die. Then, you know, straight away it dawned upon him, all of the happy, the very well-planned type of life that the Father has given him has no more meaning. Straight away he understands he has a problem because he cannot overcome old age, sickness, and death. All this wealth and good life has no meaning. But finally, he has to confront old age, sickness, and death. So to him, this is incomplete. Yeah. He hasn't talked about suffering, you know. This is only the first four, or the first three. So he renounced the world to seek the understanding, to liberate from birth and death, to free completely from all age, sickness, and death. So that was the reason why he seek this spiritual understanding. He went for and renounced the world. And 6 years later, he became the fully enlightened one. And we have this teaching because of him. So this is a very important aspect of life that you have to develop. So that if you want to complete, to have a complete understanding of what life is, so that you can live the meaningful life, the happy life, the noble life, life which is free from all the misery, suffering, sorrow, lamentation, and unhappiness, you need to have the understanding of life in both aspects, mundane and supramundane, the materialistic and the spiritual aspect of life. So this is basically what I have covered, based on the Buddha Dhamma. Then I share with you something that I came to understand on my own. This may interest you a little bit. I think I still have time. I still have. Okay. Now, just now, I was trying to share with you. Life is existence. Existence is time. Okay. So what is time? What is time? There are three aspects, isn't it? What are the three aspects of time? Past, present, and future. Very good. So what is past? Past is already gone, isn't it? Not a reality. What is future? Yet to come. Also not a reality. So, the only reality is what? The present moment. That's why now a lot of teaching talking about the power of the now, the present moment. The moment is the only reality in life. That's why the Buddha said you must have mindfulness, awareness, heedfulness. Without this understanding, you cannot live life, he said. Because when you don't have this understanding, life becomes like a mystery. Life becomes like very difficult to understand. Then the Buddha said, a person who don't have this understanding, he is very heedless. He couldn't understand life. He simply go about in life. And because of that, they entangle with life and they cause a lot of misery to themselves. So time, life is existence. Existence can be translated into time. So we define the whole spectrum of time. Past, present, and future. So we already confirm. This one all non-reality. Not a reality. Because future yet to come, so not a reality. Past already gone, also not a reality. The present moment, only reality. So you ask yourself, moment to moment life passes by. What are you doing? What are you doing? Are you living? Are you happy? I don't think you are living. You existed through life. You are never in with the moment. You know what you do? You think a lot. Human beings are too busy thinking, planning, and worrying about life. Correct or not? You think a lot, you plan a lot, you worry a lot. You never live. You may be excited with life when things go your way. When things don't go your way, you become miserable. When you are miserable, what you do? You worry about that problem. That's how you think. You worry. Then you plan how to improve your life. But you are never with the moment. In pure awareness, to see things as they are, to have clarity of life, to really live the moment. The moment can be so meaningful and so beautiful if you don't have worry, if you don't have fear, if you don't have problem, if you don't have thought to distract you and disturb you. That's why the Zen, drinking a cup of tea, can be very meaningful, very beautiful. You can experience all the wonders and beauty of life in that very moment of drinking tea. Because your mind is so free, understand? A moment of peace, free mind, without thought, without fear, without anxiety, without any distraction, is so difficult to come by for the living being. So that's why I say, very few people know how to live. So that's why you need to train your mind to be heedful, to be aware, not to think so much. When you are heedful, aware, you can develop the understanding, the clarity of mind to understand things clearly, and you can do things better. Your decision will be better. And when you can see things as they are, you can awaken to the characteristics of nature. The three universal characteristics that the Buddha talked about, impermanent, suffering state, and non-self, anicchang, dukkang, anatta, your wisdom will grow. When your wisdom grows, the spiritual understanding comes with it, then you know how to live. And this is the real understanding of living life. If you every time worry about the past and the future, you know what is happening to your mind or not? Past is what? The scars of memory. All of your hurt, the psychological fear, worry, anxiety, and hurt and misery will condition your unhappy thought and feeling. If you project into the future, you have a lot of fear because you worry about so many things. Understand? You worry about what will happen to your family when you die. You worry about what will happen to your business if you don't get it settled. And all those worry about your health, your relationship, your career, your wealth, everything that you think you own and possess. You got so much thing to worry about. Yeah. That's why you never have a moment to really live. That's why human beings say, I got no time. Understand? Means what? You are too busy working. Too busy planning, worrying, rushing here and there, doing so many things. Is that living? Is that life? That's why you have to ask yourself. When there is disease, sickness, you worry. When there is financial problem, you worry. When your children has problem, you worry. When your career is not smooth, you worry. When there is a crisis, you also worry. That's why human beings got a lot of problems. And all this come from what? The lack of understanding of life. You don't know what life is. You don't know what is meaning and purpose. So if you understand life means what? You understand the laws that governs life and existence. You have right view. Then you know the law of karma. You know how to avoid evil, do good. Then life, it becomes beautiful. You are blessed. You inherit all those goodness. That's why you don't go and say, wow, that guy is so lucky, so blessed. It's nothing to do with luck. It is his understanding of life, the past and the present. He has lived the noble life with that Dhamma understanding. That's why he can have the good life. Understand not? So only after you understand life can you talk about its meaning and purpose, isn't it? Correct not? Before you understand how to talk about meaning and purpose, they are all your individual. Understand not? The very close type of views. That's why a lot of people, when they are very poor, they say, life to me is very simple. Food and shelter, and now I will work for you. Understand not? But when you grow, food and shelter is not enough. Yeah. You want other things. Yeah. Then when you have financial and all those things, you look for status. Yeah. Understand? Not? That's why this greed, this desire, unending. It will continue. So purpose and meaning can be very different. But when we truly understand, the true meaning is living. Not to worry about life. Understand? Not? We live. We don't worry about life. Yeah. So this aspect can follow. Eh? Understand? Some of you not. So not so bad. Eh? Okay, another aspect will interest you, I think. This one is too dry. Eh? Yeah. If I break down your life into, what is the average lifespan of a human being? Yeah? The male. Let's say 75. Correct not? So 75. I can break into three phases. Eh? Every phase is 25. Eh? Okay, first 25, what you do? Huh? What you do? What do you do? You grew up as a kid, you go through education, isn't it? Correct or not? You study, okay? Let's say you don't know how to live, eh? I sent out one email on the sharing one. I don't know how many of you receive it. Maybe the Kayana Mita receive it. You know, they also talk about these three stages. As a kid, this one is a normal one. As a kid, you say you got a lot of time and energy. Understand? You play a lot. You got no money. Understand? That's why not really the type of life you want. Then when you enter the career path, what you do? You got a lot of money and time. You got a lot of money and energy because you work so hard. You got no time. Understand? Then later on when you retire, what happened? You got a lot of time, a lot of money, no more energy. So don't make that same mistake. Understand? Study. That's why my kids say, that I want to do the thing that I can do before I pass this age. Because when I pass this age, I cannot do. Understand? Not? I got money, also no use. That's a leave. Understand? Not? They cannot. But as parents who understand, if you can, let them fulfill their wish. Understand? Not? Yeah. This one really happened to my kid, one of my boys. He one day, first year student, he saw one girl he liked very much. That girl doesn't know her yet. He just have this feeling he want to send the roses, 300 roses. It cost him quite a lot of money. You know. He asked me, Daddy, should I do it? What will you do to advise him as a parent? It's a lot of money. You know. He paid $200 for it. You know. I said, you use your ang pao money, then you do. I said, because I said, you have to decide, not me, your life. You know what he told me or not? He said, Daddy, if I don't do, I know it's stupid. Is it? After that, I may not even know the girl. Or I may not end up with her, and I will lose that money. But if I don't do it, later on, I got money, also I cannot do it. I just want to do it. I just want to find out how it feels. And the impact and all that. So he went. I took him there to one of these colleges. That girl came. Not this is really they call candid camera, but nobody take picture. He really went and the girl was stunned. He looked at him. He don't even know who my son is. He just I think they met once, but not introduced. He just offered the flower. So these are the things you can help them to do, fulfill. But don't go and follow. Okay, second aspect is what? Career. So, here, you work. Correct or not? This is the phase you work in. After that, you're supposed to retire. They say retire to live the good life, because no need to work. But what happened here? What happened here? This last 25, not sure, may not be there, understand? Not? True or not? Not everybody can live up to 50, Correct or not? Some already Kong before that. So don't take for granted that this will be there. That's why they always say, wait till I got enough money. I always tell people here, there are three possibilities. If you have to work, then work. Need to work. Then also work. Understand? You know the difference. These are the people need to work means not enough money yet. The children, they get married too late. The children need to go overseas. They need the money. So they need to work. Okay, go and work. But there are a lot who fall into this category. They have to work. They come and ask me, hey, what you do after you retire? They don't know what to do. Too much free time, they become so bored. And they say, if they don't have the 9 to 5, they really don't know how to go through the day. I got one engineer friend, very senior one. He came and looked for a job from me after he retired 3 months. He said that 2-3 months was hell to him. I said, why? He said, I don't know what to do. He said, I got so much time. He said, call the colleague, the friend, all working. He said, you can go and have lunch with them. But after a while, you can feel that they are trying to avoid you because you got too much time. They have to do a lot of things. So this one have to work, need to work. But then you ask yourself, what is contentment? Simple life, understand? Contentment means what? You are contented with life. You don't need so much to survive, understand? If it's simple life, you have enough. Retire early, understand? That's why I retire early. I retire before this. I retire somewhere here. Because after my daughter graduate, I got only 2 kids. Both didn't go overseas, So I was blessed. No need to look for so much money. So simple life. No more burden. I just call it a day. I do what I like to do. That's why these people don't understand. They ask me what to do. I say, have contentment. Then there is so much thing to do in life, isn't there? Do the thing that you like to do. What are the things you like to do? Huh? Of course, not to go and have a second life. That one also, some of you may like to do. But you have to consider your family and all those things. Do the thing that you like to do means what? When you're working, you cannot find the time to do. Huh? Some people like gardening. Go and do the gardening. I like to share the Dhamma, so I go and share the Dhamma. I like to spend time with my family. So I make use of this time to spend more time with my family. Then I tell myself, your healthy lifespan is what? 50 to 65. Understand or not? You are still healthy. Agree or not? Yeah? After 65, not sure. Huh? Some of you may still be going very strong after 70 or 75. But after 80, I think most of you, no more energy. Correct or not? You can live to 75, you are one of the average blessed ones. But if you live, you must be healthy. Understand? Then you must have the understanding of life. Otherwise, that type of life is not worth living. Understand? Because you don't have the understanding. So this part is very important. Do the thing that you want to do while you are still healthy and young. There is one thing that my friend used to talk to me, and I used to joke with them. Yeah? When you have money, yeah, you don't know how to use. Money in the bank is not your money, you know. Not. Understand not? Because there is a joke. They always joke this, but pardon me. Yeah? It tend to got something to do with Christianity. Because in Mandarin, it's a pun, P-U-N. Yeah? He said, when you die, what happens? You go to heaven, isn't it? 人在天堂, 钱在银行, you understand not? 天堂 is heaven. 银行 is bank, understand not? So after you die, you believe in Christianity, isn't it? You go to heaven, isn't it? But you realize your money is still in the bank, understand not? So you don't get to spend. So you can spend your money in a few ways, you know? They say in Cantonese, hoi hoi sam sam yong. When you are happy, use it. When you are healthy, use it. The other one is fan tai le yong. You know what is the meaning? When you are sick in the hospital, in the bed, you also use money. That type of use is not so pleasant. Isn't it? You don't know how to use your money. If you know how to do offering, yeah, Katina, or even help the charity, the poor, Zizi. Use it for your own family comfort. Renovate your house nicely. Pamper yourself a bit. No problem. Because that is the house you provide for your family. Understand not? You love them. So do the thing that you're supposed to do. Use it well, like the Buddha said. The first type of joy that comes with a lay person, the fourth type of happiness, it's the happiness of possession. When you know that you have earned this money righteously, the happiness of possession is there. The second type of happiness is able to use this money for the happiness of yourself and others, your loved ones, for humanity, so that you can be a blessing to all. That is the wise way to use. Understand? So do the thing that you want to do. Travel. Understand? Pamper yourself a bit. Do some charity, help in the community. There are so much things in life. Then do the thing that benefit everybody. This is your inheritance. This is karma. Understand? Then in future when you come, like Warren Buffett, Bill Gates, full of money. No need to worry about money. Understand? Because they did so much charity, even this life. So do good begets good, do evil begets evil. Understand? So basically, if you understand what life is very meaningful, understand? Very beautiful. No more suffering, no more misery, and there are so many things that you can do. And you will know how to take care of your health, your life, your family, loved ones. And you know what to do with life. You will know how to live. You no more worry about life. The most deluded thing to do in life is to constantly go and become unhappy, miserable, and worry about life. Your life is full of fear, worry, anxiety, and misery. Is that life? Do you want to have that type of life? Why can't you develop this understanding and live? Strive on with the heedfulness or diligence. Develop this right understanding of life. Have this right view in regards to the laws of nature that governs life and existence. Then live. Don't go and deludedly grasp, cling, and worry and become miserable. Okay? So with that, I will end today's talk. Okay? If you got any question, you can ask. Okay.
Any question you'd like to pose to Brother Ken Kun?
Anybody got any question? You can ask. Whatever that you not sure or you need me to clarify, you can ask. Don't worry about the question. Anybody? Oh, everything understood. So very good. No question. So contented. Means you understand the talk. Complete. Did I miss out anything that you all feel that you need to know?
So Brother Ken Kun, how to live a life full of energy, full of time, and full of money?
That's a very good question. You see, when you are young, if you have the condition to have all those good things in life, use it. I don't want to use the word enjoy. Have it. Like I always tell those who come to my sharing, my Dharma class, I say, the Buddha teach wisdom, not to attach, not to cling, understand? So when there is good food, eat, understand? When there is condition for you to have the good life, renovate your house. Have the comfort of living, understand? This is not what they call sensual desire, understand? You know what is desire? No contentment. Don't understand what it is for. If that thing is there for you to use, if there is condition, use it. But when there is no condition, don't become miserable. Understand? Like good food. No more condition. Don't go and create that miserable thought. Ah, you why I come to this place? Especially those who went to India, Nepal, and Burma. Ah, you. Those who went to retreat also same. The first few days, you are not the serious one. Ah, you why I come here and suffer so much pain. Every day also this type of food. He said, how nice I stay at home, got the char kway teow, all this talk. This is craving, understand? That's why you become miserable there. The essential desire, ill will, the hindrance of mind, that's why you're not peaceful. So if you want to have energy, because as a kid, the kid got a lot of energy and time, they don't have money. So your papa be the banker, understand? But don't pamper them, understand or not? Reward them when there is time to reward them, understand or not? Oh boy, you did very well. Okay, daddy, mommy, today take you to the place you like to go. Where do you like to go? Ask them, understand or not? What do you like to do? When they are young, let them have the condition. Then teach them how to understand life. Say, this come about because you study well. This is the condition for you to have. But don't every time come to me and say, Daddy, I want to go there. No. You work for it. Then it become a good Dhamma lesson. Understand? Then the kid will feel good and happy. Understand? When you are in the midst of working, career, I must watch you. A lot of people don't understand. They work and work and work and work. You know what they do or not? They sacrifice their health. They never take care of their health. They never take care of their life. They overwork. And they subject themselves to all the fear, the stress, the pressure, understand or not? The harassment. You don't have to. That's why I told my kid when they graduate, I say, remember what I say. Even when they are young, when they go to school, I say, you go to school not to score, not to do well, I say. You go to school, observe, be heedful, aware. See how your classmates, how they behave, what happened to them. Observe your teacher, how they teach. Some are sincere, some are not dedicated. You can see them all. Human beings are all different. And you learn from life. Then you come back, you discuss with me, you tell me. That's why they appreciate so much. They say a lot of their classmates, they don't have this family unit that understand life. They are not in harmony. Understand? There's not much family harmony. Family unit, the family unity, the understanding, the love, the sincerity. All these are not there. They always see them quarreling. Parents, because somehow, first thing they do is to scold, get angry first. Because boys tend to be naughty, children. Then at the puberty age, form 1, form 2, form 3, especially, very difficult. They got their own peer pressure. And parents, by nature, very conservative. When you're young, your parents control you, you don't like. But when you grow up, become parent, you want to control your kid. Understand? That's why there is no understanding, no communication, no freedom. No understanding of what life is, relationship is. You are not sensitive to them. You know what Jay Krishnamurti say? To understand a children is not through scolding them. Every time nagging them. It's through observing them, understanding them. Without reaction. Just like meditation. Choiceless awareness or mindfulness. You have to observe the kid to understand why they are like that. Then you talk to them nicely, right speech. Understand or not? You know what are you doing. You never practice what you did here in the puja. You dedicate your life to the Noble Eightfold Path. You go home, you scold your kid like nobody else's business. Understand or not? You talk to your neighbor, your in-law, or your daughter. You know. Where is your right speech? Kind, gentle, and pleasant speeches that bring about harmony and goodness and all those things. Where do you send your energy to? The angry, the hurtful words. Because you are so emotional, understand? And these are evil roots. That's why whatever happened in life, teach your children this. You also learn. First, rule one, don't get angry. Don't become emotional. Don't have fear. Don't be selfish. Then you calm down. Then you have clarity of mind. Because these are evil roots. Greed, hatred, and delusion will make you very evil. When you have a lot of fear, a lot of emotion and anger, how can you act? You act through emotion, understand that? So all your energy go there. Never use it for living. So then you become sick because of the stress, the pressure, and all those things. So when you are working your career life, always remember. Allow time for yourself, for your family, understand not? Don't go and sell your health to your company. What is a job? What is an employment contract? You sign with the company to do what? Yeah? There is a certain duty that you must perform in there. After the 9 to 5, the time is yours, isn't it? As long as you do it sincerely with understanding, you do not have to sell your health, isn't it? When you are not feeling well, you go and see a doctor. Understand? You don't go and say, no, this deadline, you know, my boss will never let me go. Means what? out of fear you submit. Understand? Huh? You don't have to. If you are sincere, you just have to tell them. But I told my kid not to abuse the rights that you have. Understand? I say you go and work. We don't need that money. Understand? Huh? If you are contented with life, the house is here for you. Because they didn't go overseas, I gave them a car, I told them. So when you go and work, you report, you have very clear mind. If your bosses try to be funny, ask you to do something that is against your conscience, understand not? Or immoral, or illegal, or put pressure on you, you can just talk to him nicely. No, this is not something I will do. They can do it because they don't have to worry about the job, understand not? But most of you know, you have fear, understand not? You want that job, understand not? But you must have the understanding. If you live by submitting to all this, means you are abating all this. Understand? Not? You must have your wisdom, understanding, and your conscience not to do things that harm and hurt. Not to do things that hurt yourself too, your health and all those things. Understand? Not? That's why you must have this ability to advise your kid. But tell them not to abuse it. Understand? And for yourself too, same. If you work for a company that do this, you might as well resign and look for another job. Maybe 1 month no pay, but you will have a better job because through your sincerity and your goodness you will have. Then you want to have the energy, you must exercise a bit. Understand? You must actually take care of this body. Like your car, huh? You maintain them well, look after them, it serves you longer. You know? But the reality is, don't attach, because like that car, no matter how well you maintain, especially lady, you put on the facial, the ICI, no matter how long and how well you maintain, the body is just a body, it will go the way of nature. Understand? A 70-year-old is a 70-year-old, understand? Maybe you can improve it to 50-something or 60-something, but it's still a 70-year-old car. So have understanding to accept this reality. Then the beauty is inside your heart, understand? Not outwardly. Understand? Of course, you have to make up a bit for certain occasion and condition, but not for your selfish desire to be young and pretty. No point. Not to impress the world. Your beauty is within your heart. When you have the Dhamma, you are so beautiful. You understand life. You got the Noble Eightfold Path. You have right speech, right action, right thought, and right life view, and right view. You are so noble in your views and understanding of life. You are so noble in your speech, action, and thought process. That's why you are so beautiful, so blessed, so wonderful. That's why people will like you. Understand? So to have the best of everything, you must have wisdom. You must have the Dhamma. Then you reflect and you provide for yourself accordingly. Do not have fear. Do not be emotional. Then these two evil roads no more easier. Selfishness you have to slowly do away. When you have more and more of this generosity, love and compassion, selfishness will go. Love and compassion is what? Kindness, gentleness, goodness, pleasantness. All these are love, understand? Service to help people and others. Love and compassion can do all this. But when you are very selfish, you tend to be very self-centered. Everything also you calculate. For me or not for me. Otherwise you don't want to do. And you're never happy. A selfish person is never happy, I tell you. They are always very greedy. A lot of craving, not contented. Okay?
Yeah, okay. Thank you, Brother Ken Kun. I think it's time for us to stop. We thank Brother Ken Kun for his very educational talk this morning on the understanding life, its meaning and purpose. Hopefully we can now live our life better, more meaningfully and more purposefully, not to mong cha cha come to this world and then mong cha cha go away. Thank you, Brother Genkun. I would like to invite Brother Genkun to lead us in the sharing of the merits of all sentient beings.
Okay. So we were, as usual, do the closing Buddha Puja as recommended by the Buddha. Compose your mind. It's to help you to share the merits, transfer the merits, then make the aspiration, then develop the faith in the Buddha and his teaching, the Sadha, Virya, and Sati. So compose your mind. If you know how to chant, we chant together. If you don't know, you just rejoice. Sadhu, 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 inside your heart, silently. Okay, share your merits with the devas. Akasata cha bumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anumoditwa cirang rakantu lokasasana itta wata chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang me nyati dang ho tu sukita hontu nyatayo idang me nyati dang ho tu sukita hontu nyatayo idang me nyati dang ho tu sukita hontu nyatayo imina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo satang samagamo ho tu Yāva nivāna pātiyā sādhu, sādhu, sādhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to the Buddha to develop your faith, sadhā.
Bhūtaṃ pūjēmi. Dhammaṃ pūjēmi. Sanghaṃ pūjēmi.